morning, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk. We've been out for a couple weeks, but we are back and better than ever here on WHJE alongside Sam Wiederhoff and Brady Quinn. I'm your host, Jack Kaiser. I'm sure most of you know, but the Greyhounds have picked up two victories recently to advance their winning streak to six games. The first was an exciting matchup against Warren Central at home with lots of lead changes, but it ended in a 30-20 Carmel win. This past Friday, the Hounds traveled to Lawrence Central and won 35-26 behind a breakout passing performance from Michael Victrup. But the playoff craziness starts tomorrow as Carmel takes on Noblesville in the first round of sectionals at home. But today, later on in the show, senior running back Stephen Watts will join us. But right now, as always, we have head coach John Hebert with us. Thanks for joining us, Coach.
Thanks for having me, guys. Happy to be here.
All right, Coach, like I just said, the team is on a six-game winning streak moving into the playoffs. How important is that momentum as you move into the elimination rounds?
Well, we've been fortunate that we've been able to focus on each game that we've had because we've played some really tough opponents, and that's our mindset, that each week you have a new challenge and you've got to give it your best and really try to pull together and put all of your attention toward that one task that's right in front of you, that one opponent. And you know, that's kind of a training ground and a set of learning experiences for what ultimately matters, which is the playoffs, where we are now and what we've been trying to do all season. And I feel like we've got a really mature team and a lot of guys that just understand that preparing the right way and having our mindset narrowed down to what we have this particular week is important to them, and I hope that we get off to a great start here, get a victory tomorrow night.
Michael Victrup, unbelievable performance last Friday against Lawrence Central. Since sets a single game passing record with 381 yards. He had touchdown passes to Ethan Merriweather for 65 and 75 yards, and one for 90 yards to Marcus Perkins. Why do you think he was able to connect with his receivers for big yardages?
Well, you know, if you look at where the ball was caught on many of those passes, the pass might have been somewhere around 15 to 20 yards in distance. And, you know, I think it was a combination of a good play call based on the coverage that Lawrence Central was in, and then a nice job by receivers of catching that ball and finding a way to break free from the secondary. So I know Marcus Perkins showed a little bit more speed than I think our opponents probably would have given him credit for, but hard to argue with it now. And then Ethan Merriweather got behind a corner on a nice play-action fake, and there was just no stopping him there. So, you know, the other touchdown that Ethan had was across the field run, and we got a nice block from Kurt Raftall there, and that kind of sprung him down the sideline for that score. So, you know, there are games where Michael throws that ball quite a bit of distance there, and it's usually Jalen Walker that's running underneath it and making a spectacular catch. But I think Friday night was really a combination of, again, being prepared and knowing what we were going to see from our opponent, and then guys just being in a position to capitalize when they had the opportunity to.
And sticking on the topic of, like we talked about Michael Victrup, but we've seen him not be as mobile as we saw him earlier in the season after he sustained that injury. Why do you think he's doing that? Is it because of the injury, or is that just more of a game plan type strategy to keep him in the pocket much more and getting the ball downfield?
Yeah, I think it's probably a combination of both. Michael, you know, throughout his career, throughout his athletic career, has just been such a superb playmaker, and he can run and make people miss, and, you know, such a large number of plays have been made on his behalf, you know, with the open field runs that he has. And I think that, you know, we've challenged Michael to not resort to that when it's not needed. He's very smart. He has a great deal of poise, and he can throw the ball really well. So, you know, we're trying to develop an offense where we find the open receiver, and that way you end up seeing some of those breakout passes and catches and, you know, real key momentum changers. So if you look at the two games after the Pike game where, you know, Michael's hamstring was receiving a lot of treatment and he didn't feel 100% to run, Michael had a really high passing percentage. I would say probably, you know, over 80%. in those two games and a great number of yards, and our offense functioned at a high level because of it.
Michael truly has been spectacular this year, and you've had a lot of spectacular moments throughout the year. The team has. So throughout the regular season, in your first year as head coach of the Carmel Greyhounds, what was your favorite moment?
You know, I'm probably going to have to revisit that one in December or January when I've had some time to reflect. I'm in the mindset of enjoying the moments. I definitely just love being out there and being with the players and the fellow coaches and preparing together and facing obstacles. And, you know, it's everything that athletics is meant to be, and couldn't be doing it with a better group of people. And I'm definitely benefiting from all of that, interaction by all the people involved. But I would just have to say that, you know, we go to work every day and we practice. We try to be as efficient and focused and energized as we can. And so I'm just really proud of the effort and the leadership of our senior class. So many guys that it just matters so much too. So, you know, we're going to keep working and try to produce more of those moments. And then when it's all over, we'll just sit back and reflect on them.
Focusing toward tomorrow's game against the Noblesville Millers, first round of sectionals. These guys come in with a 3-6 record. They've played tough with teams like Lawrence North and Hamilton Southeastern, so they're a little bit underrated. How have you guys been preparing this week to face on the Millers in the first week of sectionals?
Well, we played them last year, so we have the game tape there that we can go back and just see what they tried to do to us and what worked for us against them. So you get a little bit of an insight into, you know, maybe what they see as well. We're going to prepare for every game the same way. So you go into a MIC contest or a sectional contest the exact same way. And it's not me that invented this, but it's been a part of the process that has helped us be successful over, you know, a good number of years, that if you start inventing new ways or bigger ways to prepare in some weeks than others, then you're liable to not be consistent in how you come out and play. So Noblesville is a team that is capable of being successful. We're looking at what some other teams have done to them that have limited them. They did lose their quarterback 2 weeks ago, and their replacement is a junior, and he's a good player, and he seems to be getting better with more opportunities. So we've got to be mindful of the kind of progress that he's going to be able to make. They have a very good running back who would do very well, I think, in the MIC. He's that type of a runner, and he's the feature back for them. And their defense has had times where they've really limited offenses from doing the kinds of things that they want to do. So we're going to need to be able to run the ball and be able to take what the defense has given us. So, you know, just like any other game, we've got to be prepared to play all three phases to the best of our ability and take advantage of opportunities. You know, you look at Lawrence Central's record, for instance, and they're 3-6 themselves. And, you know, that was a very tough game that the outcome of the game hinged on a turn of events in the fourth quarter. So, you know, Pike is another team that is not on the winning side of the column overall. And we narrowly pulled that game out and won 38-33. So you get too consumed thinking about another team's record or whether another team is a great team or not. And you overlook yourselves and you overlook the things that should be focused on, which is just being as prepared and as focused as you can be.
Now, we saw last season, the Greyhounds in the regular season go 9-0, and coming into the playoffs, the whole mentality was try to go undefeated for their year. They taking it one game at a time. It was said a lot, but it really didn't seem like that. So this year, coming in, having lost two games throughout the regular season, what's the mindset going into that, knowing you've lost two games going into this postseason?
Well, going into the postseason, we're 0-0. That's our mindset. That you know, what's happened in the past is it certainly has contributed to where we are, but it is not relevant in the sense that we get no credit for what our record is. You know, I don't think Noblesville cares. I don't think anybody in our sectional does, and it's not going to have an influence on the outcome of any contest going forward. You know, with that all being said, I think there is a benefit in losing a game, especially when you can learn a great deal from it. And the two losses that we had early on, we lost to great teams, and we went back and watched the film and learned a little bit as to why we lost those games. And some of it was due to just how good our opponents were, and others we made mistakes. And I like to think that we corrected a good deal of those mistakes and made progress toward becoming a more complete team. Sometimes when you win games, you pull out a game and you win it in a close score, or you know, you make some plays at the end and you feel pretty good, and you might not have the sense of urgency needed to really overcome some of your shortcomings, and every team has them. So I think, I'm trying not to read too much into where we are in terms of a winning streak, or, you know, it's more about how we come to work every day and how close our team is and how much they care about each other and how much we're all really determined to go out and be the best that we can be and not take these opportunities for granted.
And you said every team is 0-0 going into sectionals, and that's what makes the intensity so high, and rivalries come out and rivalries are showcased in sectionals. And we asked Dwayne Allen a similar question. We were able to interview Colts tight end Dwayne Allen about a week ago or a couple weeks ago, and I asked him what their practices were like leading up to the Patriots game. And I know you say it's you're preparing like it's any other game, but the intensity has to be a little bit higher leading up to these sectionals in practice.
We're trying to maintain and elevate our intensity. I think early on in the season, we felt like we needed a lot of improvement in that area, and we made some changes into how we practice. And I think most guys on the team and coaches would agree that there was a big payoff there in terms of how ready we were at the start of the game to initiate things rather than play the wait and see approach. And so, you know, you got to prove it every game. You could go out and that won't be the case, and then you wonder where you are exactly. But I think we've got a pretty good formula. Our guys have responded well to challenges, and we've not spent a great deal of time trying to convince them of how important this game is or this stage is. I think you can. There's a feeling that you can get when you look into the eyes of your team as to whether they understand that or not, whether they, you know, really are thinking the right types of thoughts. And I just, it's my impression that that our team, being a mature team, realizes how much is at stake.
Last week, we saw some players go down. We saw Fleck got a concussion, and Jack Lorson also had an ankle injury. How are you replacing those roles?
Well, that's tough. And we did have a lot of injuries in the second half against Lawrence Central. There was one point in the game where all four of our starting linebackers were out of the game. And, you know, replacements were out there, you know, back to that point about the turning point and the outcome of the game hinging on that fourth quarter. And some guys that hadn't typically been on the field were able to play a really significant role in securing the victory. So I think in that regard, we improved as a team because contributions were being made by some people that just hadn't been out there before. And anytime that happens, that's a great thing. The WRTV had done a piece on our offensive line and the versatility of several guys and playing different roles. And, you know, when Jack Lorson's one of those constant pieces, you know, every step of the way, and then he's not there, that really tests that idea. But you know, we have Harley Fry as basically a starter in almost every game, and Simon Pachars, who's you know, been dealing with injuries of his own across the way, and junior Mark Stickford, who, you know, is a very talented, athletic, smart player who's very capable of leading the offense to being successful in the run game and passing game. And, as in terms of linebackers, we've really been playing five linebackers for four spots. And sophomore Jack Van Remortel is both an inside and an outside linebacker, and he's played extensive minutes at both. So, in the absence of Justin Fleck, Jack Van Remortel will just focus on the inside linebacker role. And then, fortunate for us, Aaron Surface stepped in at outside linebacker. He played 18 plays, and according to our rubric, he had 16 successful plays out of those 18, and really did his job and hung in there tough. And you know, when you find a guy, and we knew that Aaron could do that. There's no question that he's that kind of a guy, a senior that, you know, this means the world to him and the team matters so much to him. So, you know, you've got a guy like Aaron Surface who, you know, he's been working for years for this opportunity. And Andrew Peters is another one, an inside linebacker who has put a lot of work in the weight room and time and in understanding what his job is. So, and we've got some younger guys too, who really are ready for an opportunity to prove themselves. So it's exciting to see when people meet those opportunities ready to succeed, and we feel like we've got a bunch of them.
Now, you said a second ago you were talking about Jack Van Remortel along with some of the younger guys on the team. We saw last year Van Remortel as a freshman playing in the state championship game. What are some standout freshmen? Because we know there are some that are now practicing with the varsity squad. Who are some standout freshmen that can help you down the road throughout the rest of the season?
Well, the freshman team finished 5-3, but I think they're a really special group. And you look at the losses that they had, two of them were to Warren Central. They played Warren Central twice and lost the season ender to Lawrence Central. But we have pulled up 35 freshmen to practice with the upperclassmen, and we went from the viewpoint that we're taking units that would remain intact. So we have the starting offense, the starting defense, and then a handful of other guys that rotated and played significant time with the starting units. So and a few guys here and there that have shown a lot of promise and, you know, have a lot of potential. So we really believe that all 35 of those guys are going to make a great class. And there are many others that you can just tell that we didn't pull up that have a great deal of potential as well and are also going to be great contributors. So we have that core of 35 guys that are working hard. And then, you know, out of those 35, there are a handful that could be varsity ready right now. And, you know, they're guys that you know, they've just developed a little bit sooner than other guys, and you know, before the other guys have caught up. But you know, we've been doing this for a while, and there always seems to be a handful that fit that profile. But you know, Bo Robbins on defense and Joey Schmidt and Matt Boyer, those three guys are all linebackers. They're all very athletic and intelligent and instinctual players. And then Kamari Hunt is Cameron Hunt's little brother, running back, great deal of talent, and you know, just a great football player overall. And really, you know, the offensive line for the freshman team I'm finding to be very good. And you know, they're getting to go against our number one defense, and so we're watching them progress, you know, rapidly right before our eyes, as is the entire freshman defense, you know, and some playmakers, you know, on the offensive side at the skill positions, receivers, you know, several receivers that are very good, a couple of very good tight ends that are physical and can make plays. So And we like our quarterback at the freshman level, Tyler Trent, too. He's really probably improved more than any single individual at the freshman level.
Tomorrow's the day, ladies and gentlemen. Sectional football. Make sure to tune in to WHA at 6 to hear pregame and the broadcast. Sam Brady and I will be doing that at 7 o'clock. It'll be exciting. Hounds take on Noblesville. Hopefully they can win that one and move on. And thanks again for joining us, Coach Hebert. Good luck tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Go Hounds.
All right, you're listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk. We'll be back with Stephen Watts on 91.3 WHJE. Welcome back to Hound Pound Sports Talk, ladies and gentlemen. Alongside Sam Wiederhoff and Brady Klein, I'm your host, Jack Kaiser. We just talked to head coach John Hebert, and now we have senior running back Stephen Watts with us. Thanks for joining us, Stephen.
Thanks, Jack. It's nice to be here.
All right, so Stephen, playing the running back position in the MIC Conference certainly takes its toll. What's it like taking that pounding every single Friday night?
It's just something you got to prepare for through the week, you know. It definitely comes with this toll on your body. You get sore and you get bruises throughout the year or throughout the weeks of the football season. But, you know, icing helps and just got to rest.
You guys have taken some hits at the offensive line position within the past couple weeks. We've seen Hartley go down. Jack Lorson went down last week and Chase Crowder. But you guys have still had success up the middle with the run game. You and Tobias. Why do you think that is?
I think it's just determination. Us as running backs, we keep our O-linemen motivated. Like, we know that we're going to get some injuries throughout the season, and we just got to keep pushing through, and just being positive is the biggest thing. Like, even though when Jack got injured last week, we all stay positive with, you know, our younger O-line.
Now, you and Tobias get the majority of the carries between the running back position. What's the relationship like between you two guys, almost splitting the time in the running back position?
Well, Tobias is my best friend, so me and him have always had, like, a close relationship, and we expected, like, just like Shakir and Chris last year, how they split reps almost exactly down the line. That's how we expected the season to go. And now that it's starting to get more into that relationship, me and Omar understand that switching out in series is the most probably efficient way to do it.
You had a breakout performance against Lawrence Central, splitting reps with Tobias last week, and you provided consistent rushing yards for the offense. What do you think enabled you to have that type of performance?
Tobias usually getting most of the carries. He kind of talked to me and sat down with me and told me that, you know, you're going to get more carries this game. You're going to just be positive about it. Like, you know, you're going to go in there. You know exactly what to do. We do it in practice multiple times a week and just know what you're going into and hold on to the ball.
Was it a strategy that you and Tobias came out every single drive? It was either you or Tobias. They would alternate every single drive. Was that strategy?
Yeah. Coach Taylor said we're going to plan it how, like, Tobias would go on the first drive, I would go on the second drive, then Tobias would do two, and then I would go in for two. And then we'd rotate it like that.
How do you think that worked throughout? I mean, because we saw against Lawrence Central all of our touchdowns except for one of them, which a two-yard touchdown run by Tobias. But how do you think the running game, splitting the reps between you two guys, worked out in that game?
I think it worked out better, and I'm hoping that we can replicate that against Noblesville this Friday. Definitely switches it up on the defense because we're definitely two different style running backs.
And you mentioned Coach Taylor. What type of an impact has he had on you and Tobias in that backfield?
He's definitely helped me mature more on my run reads. You know, being able to trust my speed, even on the very little speed I have. He's helped me trust it, and he's definitely helped us mature as running backs.
All right, focusing more toward this game tomorrow against Noblesville, what's been the energy like in practice this week?
It's been great. We've, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this, but we've gotten Chase Crowder back, and he's going to be blocking for us, and I'm really excited to get into the run game.
Laughing at that one, because Steven, yeah, we have been informed that Chase Crowder will be back this week. But like you said, the energy this week has been really exciting throughout the entire season. But one thing we've really been focusing on are all the scout team guys. We talked to Coach Hubert earlier. I brought up 35 freshmen to practice with you guys now. How are the freshmen and the scout team players able to make you better throughout the week?
They definitely come in with the mentality that, boy, we're playing with the varsity. We need to show out in front of the coaches, and that's definitely a true fact. And I think it's just like a thing where, like, we're not gonna let a freshman make you look like a fool. So I definitely try harder in practice because I want to impress them and, like, set a standard for them.
And sectional time means Mohawk time, and we've seen Mohawks throughout the entire football team. Are you a supporter of the playoff Mohawk, and what's the best one you've seen so far?
I wasn't a supporter throughout my first 3 years of high school, but since I'm a senior, they made me get one. And I think the best Mohawk I've seen is probably Nathan Melkheiser, Michael Vitrups, or Jake Leach.
Leach went full buzz on the sides on that one, too. He went
dyed it black as well.
Yeah, dyed it black, yeah.
I saw Hank Haner's this morning. He still has his long hair. It's just slicked back as a Mohawk, too. So that's a pretty good one there, too.
Yeah, those Mohawks are pretty intense. What kind of threats does the Noblesville Millers defense have? What are you going to be looking for on that defensive side as you run the ball? What kind of threats do they have?
I'm just looking at – they run a different defense than most teams. They run a 3-3 stack usually, and sometimes they switch to a 4-2 and a 3-4 defense. So they have a couple freshmen on their defense, which means that they're talented, and we just need to look out. They're not on the speed side, but they are on the technique side, and they kind of sit there. So we're looking to use the outside and the inside pound.
I'm sorry, but Sam, that was the worst transition possible. We were talking about Mohawks, and you're like, yeah, those Mohawks are pretty intense. So what does Noblesville present on the defensive side? That was a little quick there, buddy.
Sorry. Okay, I'm sorry, all right?
I'm sorry, I just had to point that out.
He wants to keep it going.
I just had to point that
keep
out.
Keep the show going.
The show must go on. Now, Steven, I'm going to ask you another question that we asked Coach Hubert earlier in the show. It is his first year being the head coach, obviously. A lot of new experiences for him. But what has been your favorite moment of the season so far?
I think my favorite moment of the season was playing in the homecoming against North Central, because I have family on that team. And somebody on the defense was my cousin. And I think scoring against them and having a pretty good rushing game was my favorite moment of the team, of the year at least.
So every week we ask each player this question on the show, but what kind of music are you listening to before game time to try and get dialed in before kickoff?
Oh, yes, great question. I'm listening to Young Thug's new mixtape, Slime Season, and Drake and Future's What a Time to Be Alive.
That's great stuff there. We've heard plenty of answers. We heard Michael Vitrup. He listens to classical music before the games to sort of, you know, calm down and get dialed in. We've heard, what did Chase listen to?
Chase was classical and Frank Sinatra along with...
Frank Sinatra. I think we played
Frank Sinatra for that.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
That was the big one.
We listened to Earth, Wind, and Fire before our games, too.
We've heard everything from classical to rap, hip-hop, rock.
Everything from Jake Leach listening to Ellie Goulding before the game, too. Yes. So we've heard everything.
Jake Leach. Great stuff right there. But getting dialed in is really important. And sectionals obviously are the most important time of the year. What's the one thing you would say to the team moving into the playoffs as they make a run for a state championship?
It's a 1 week season, and we just need to stay focused on each week and getting through each Friday night game, because if you look ahead of the teams, you'll get beat like I think we did in 2011 or 2012. We lost to Warren our first game, and I definitely don't want my senior season to end in a playoff game that's not state championship.
Are you guys doing anything different this year in preparation as opposed to last year to try and prevent what happened in last year's championship game?
We start off each Tuesday and Wednesdays, we start off our practices with this thing called combat, which we get in the circle. It kind of gets us some energy in our practice because usually before we didn't start out with that. We just started stretching and right into our practice, kind of lackadaisical. And I think Coach Heber's like motivation and getting us hype is better.
Have you had to compete in the combat drill yet?
During the week before our Hamilton Southeastern game, I got called out twice.
Who'd you go against? How'd you do?
I went against Austin Newland, and I went against, and then like a week or two later, I went against Jerome Hassell. I beat Austin, and then I lost to Jerome.
We've certainly heard a lot about that combat drill, and That's all we have for you, Steven. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it, and good luck tomorrow.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it, too.
All right, another great interview with Steven Watts, and earlier we had head coach John Hebert on. We're going to take a break, and then we'll recap those interviews real quick. You're listening to Hound Pound Sports Talk. It's about Hound Pound Sports Talk here on 91.3 WHJE. I'm Jack Kaiser. We had a couple great interviews with head coach John Hebert and senior running back Steven Watts. What did you think of them, Brady?
I think both provided great information, a great mindset of how they're both feeling. You know, you get a player's perspective and a coach's perspective. Going into the playoffs, it's very different yet very similar at the same time. So it's great to see the comparison between those two.
And they're both very excited for playoffs. I like how Coach Hebert said that if you change something, if you prepare more for a big game, then there could be detrimental things to come. And I like their preparation. I think we'll look good against Noblesville tomorrow.
I think Coach Hebert and his answers really reflected in Steven's answers. And that goes to show what a great coach he is and what he's instilled in his players. And they really have that mindset of one game at a time. And I know they're very focused on Noblesville tomorrow, despite what their record is. I know they're going to come out and play hard.
Yeah, they really will. You look at what you said a second ago, Jack. Coach Hebert really focused one game at a time. He's been very active on social media, specifically Twitter and Instagram, throughout this entire season. And then just in the last week, he's has probably three or four tweets where it just says, 0-0, we're going to go get this game, trying to get 1-0. And reading that the first time, I'm like, what is he talking about? But then now I understand what he means by going 1-0 for the playoffs, starting off a fresh season, a whole new right now, trying to make their way towards the state championship.
And it was comforting to hear about with the injuries. We had a pretty rough week last week against Lawrence Central. We had a lot of guys go down, but he made it sound like we have some really good guys that are coming up, stepping up in the right positions, and they're going to be ready, getting some good field time. And, you know, I really think those injuries aren't going to slow us down going into the playoffs.
That's the great thing about Carmel. They have a lot of depth, and I know whoever's in there is going to step up and perform well, and hopefully we see that from these guys tomorrow night against Noblesville. So, ladies and gentlemen, make sure to tune into that game. Sam will be play-by-play. Brady will be color, and I'll be hosting pregame and have a couple interviews at halftime and after the game. That was Hound Pound Sports Talk, guys. We just recapped those two interviews with Coach Hebert and Steven Watts. It was a great show. For Sam Wiederhoft and Brady Klein, I'm your host, Jack Kaiser. Stay tuned to 91.3 WHJE.